Josh Felber, and you're watching Making Bank, where we uncover the success strategies, the secrets of the top 1%, so you can amplify and transform your life and your business starting today. Welcome to the show. So one of the things is we're going to dive into some crazy topic today. It's going to have to do creation versus evolution. And my next guest has written a whole book on this, and he's just going to really dive in deep. And so hang in there as we really get into this today. But some of you may have that belief out there, through evolution is how we got here. And some of you may have that belief out there that, hey, creation is how we got there, is how we got here on Earth. And so we're going to really find out more about that. But for me, I think regardless of what you believe there, we all have a belief in a higher power, somebody that's, or something or someone or somebody that's there watching over us. And for me, I've accepted in my life God and Christianity and how it's helped me through my life, whether it's getting through different challenges, whether it's when I was a kid being able to manage and deal with life as you're a kid, whether through dreams or through at school, the different challenges that you run into and everything. And so I think for all of us, we need to have some kind of belief that's going to help us move forward every day in and day out. And one of the things that comes with all this is the ability to pass that on to our kids, pass that on to others, and bringing people into the whole mindset, the whole realm of what this is. And for me, it allows me to be able to follow down the same path and follow that path that allows me to treat others as I want to be treated. It allows me to connect and be true to other people as I'm being to myself. And so through all this, we got to have some way of connecting our life together, some idea of where we're going in life, that we're not just here to slave away at a desk, to live on the streets. There's a higher calling that each of us have inside. And one of the things I have for myself is being able to connect and move others, move you that are watching my show day in and day out. And I've been blessed with a big opportunity and a big challenge to be able to spread the information, through myself, through my show, and into the hearts of others out there as yourself. And this is a tough and tricky topic, as somebody that may watch this like, I'm not going to watch that guy anymore. And that's awesome. You go find the right person that connects with you. And hopefully this is going to connect with the people that really need and should have this message, the ones that are called upon to do something better, do something bigger in their life. And as I said, not sitting behind a desk or not stuck in your apartment trying to figure out what to do. You don't have that direction. You're in school right now, at college maybe it is, and you just don't know what you're going to do when you graduate. And one of the things I would say is stop looking around you and start looking in you. What are you put here to be? What were you born for on Earth? Why were you put here? I think that's a very important question that we all must dive into and discover that answer. What is our purpose? What is going to take in our lives and allow us to be better, to allow us to serve what we were put here for. And it may sound all woo-ish and all that, but it's the truth. And like I said, I'm hoping this is going to resonate with some of you out there. And my next guest is going to explore both sides of that and really uncover how our DNA is mapped and how that's similar to code that is written for computers, just, you know, software for computers and everything, and how our body and how our DNA within us is similar to that software code. And we're just breaking into the tips of the iceberg on how to hopefully help modify some of that code to help us stick away from diseases and things that are, you know, destroying us. But when it all comes down to it, is ask yourself that question, you know, what was I put here on earth for? How can I go out and serve and help other people and transform other people's lives based on that reason why I was put here? And I want to challenge you, after watching this video, to go out and explore and dive deep into yourself and pick up some different reading material that is going to help move you forward, to help you come to your understanding and help you find your breakthrough in your life. And then let me know, send me a message, whether it's via email, whether it's via Facebook, whatever it is, and let me know what you found out and now how you are going out to transform the world and your life as well. So again, up next, we have a really exciting guest. We're gonna get in there deep with Perry Marshall. And it's kind of crazy because he wrote the 80-20 rule book. And now he's got a whole another book on evolution and creation coming out. And I want you to get out there and look for that today. So when we come back right after this break, we're going to connect up and talk with Perry Marshall. So I am Josh Felber, and you are watching Making Bank, and we will be right back.
Hi, I'm cooking up a fresh batch of my Sun Up Before Sun Protector. Last year, my family headed off to the sunny beaches of Riviera Maya for a much-needed vacation. But I knew I wouldn't enjoy myself if we were smothering our skin with ingredients that cause reproductive disorders, hormonal imbalances, even cancer. Kind of takes that feeling out of a beautiful day, right? Now you can make every beautiful day delicious to your skin by using Sun Up Before Sun Protector by Primal Life Organics.
I am Josh Felber, and you're watching Making Bank. I'm excited today. We actually have an awesome guest with me. I've read his 80-20 book, and I'm just really excited to bring him onto the show. This is Perry Marshall. He's an author, a speaker, and an engineer, and a world-renowned business consultant out of Chicago. With over a decade worth of research, he brings a fresh perspective to over 150-year-old evolutionary debate. His book, Evolution 2.0, harnesses communication engineers' outside perspective to reveal the century of unrecognized and of research and discoveries. Perry's work in the digital communications and control systems, acoustics, and e-commerce brings an insight to the questions about nature and science. He also has a degree in electrical engineering and has consulted for over 300 industries. And Perry, I'm glad to have you on the show because I'm really excited to see how, with what you're doing, your new book, how we're tying this all together as entrepreneurs to move our business forward and raise our game. Welcome to the show.
Hey, it's great to be on Making Bank. Thank you, Josh. And it's fantastic to be here. It's an honor. I know you've got a huge following and a lot of people that pay attention to what you do. And, you know, I was telling you just before we got started, you know, people ask me, okay, so you started out as an electrical engineer, and then right. You were designing speakers, and now you're like this Google AdWords guy, and then there's this evolution book. Like, does this make any sense? And well, actually it does, and hopefully in a few minutes here we'll kind of tie it all together. But sure. You know, one thing about entrepreneurs is, especially now, more than any other time, man, you got a gun to head. your head and you better evolve like fast, right?
Oh yeah.
Because, you know, the 18 months ago formula does not work now, and what works now won't work 18 months from now, because we're in this hyper evolutionary space. And so I started finding that my experiences with how people evolve and develop ideas and the unpredictability of it all, I really needed to tie it all together, I guess. Sure. I would say. And so I'm really excited to just dig in deep and see where we go in the next 30 minutes.
No, awesome. And that's what I'm really interested in seeing with Evolution 2.0. Can you give us a little background on kind of what, you know, why you, you know, decided to write that book and just a little overview on that?
Well, you know, it's not a business book. It really is a science book, and it really does dig into this quite, because everybody's had the argument, everybody's heard the discussion, right? You know, creation, evolution, where did we come from, and all of that. And what I'd like to do today is actually paint you a picture of how, yes, like this is relevant. This is a question that you can get to the bottom of. There are some marketing lessons in what I needed to do to tell the evolution story. There are some evolution lessons that I learned from the marketing world, and that it all kind of ties together from an engineer's perspective.
Okay.
So I'm actually going to make the audacious claim that we can tie all of this stuff together in 30 minutes. So let me compress it, right? let me take a crack at this. So I studied engineering because when I was in high school, I became an absolutely rabidly addicted crack addict audio equipment geek.
Nice.
And I actually had a business in high school selling speakers, and I had a brand that I was selling in a local showroom at an audio dealer when I was 17.
Right.
And I could actually make speakers that competed with the major brands and all of that. And like, I got to get to the bottom of this. I knew I had all these magazines and books and handy dandy formulas, but I knew that I didn't really understand it. Right. What I knew is I mean, and entrepreneurs totally know what I'm talking about. Like, you look up something in the book and you plug it in and it seems to work and you don't really know why. And it makes you nervous that you don't know why. Right.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Right. And that was the feeling. And so I went to engineering school, and then I designed speakers for Jensen for a few years. And then I got laid off and I went into sales, and I thought, well, this shouldn't be very hard. These guys aren't very smart. Wrong. It was 2 years of bologna sandwiches and ramen soup. Well, the thing that made things turn around was I stumbled onto the world of direct marketing. And my way of explaining direct marketing is it's the engineering of sales.
Right.
Okay. Like, I buy this traffic. I mean, whether it's sending out letters or Facebook or wherever, right? I put money in the slot. I get eyeballs. The eyeballs, some of them respond. And then there's steps and more steps and more steps. And eventually the cash register rings, and eventually I get a lifelong customer, and it's all process control.
Sure. Okay?
And I worked in process control in my engineering career. And so, this makes sense. In fact, I'm reading sales letters and I'm going, so this is what I'm supposed to do when I get in front of a customer. This is what I'm supposed to say. There's supposed to be a headline. There's supposed to be an opening paragraph. There's supposed to be a USP. There's supposed to be a guarantee. There's supposed to be call to action. Like, I get
it. It's all coming.
I can read it, and then, it's in my brain, and seriously, like, this was how I started eating. Seriously. And it was like, it didn't happen a moment too soon either. Like, the credit cards were like, you know, we were drowning, and like, you know, well, are we going to have to move in with Laura's parents or, you know?
Right. As an entrepreneur, we've all been in that position at some point. So it's definitely resonating there for sure.
Right. Well, all right. So I'm going to tie this back to evolution pretty soon. So, well, fast forward a few years and I discover Google AdWords. Well, one way, so I'm going to kind of assume that everybody here listening at least knows what it is, and they probably have some idea that you test lots of ads and, you know, 2% of the advertisers get 50% of the traffic, and it's very Darwinian, right? Yes. And it's ferociously competitive. And like, this was the coolest thing since sliced bread, because you could just put things and you could test all these things. Well, I go on to write the world's best-selling book on Google advertising, or even internet advertising in general, and I end up teaching hundreds of thousands of people how to do this. And what it is, it's accelerated intelligent Darwinian evolution is what it is. Google's job is natural selection. Right. Google's job is to figure out as fast as possible what's going to make it, what's not. Serve up the good stuff, eliminate the bad stuff, make as much money as they can make, give the audience as much relevance. And I loved how ingenious their thing was, because they would reward you for writing better ads and better copy. It's like, well, you can spend more money or you can write a better ad, like right. Your choice, but, right, whichever you want to do. Right. And so I do this. And this, I develop, and I think you can really relate to this, a real primal gut level feel for what goes out there in that competitive marketplace, right? Right? I'm in and out of hundreds of people's Google accounts. Do this, do that, fix this, fix that, move this over here, right? And it's all so fascinating, right? It's like a video game. It's like this addictive video game where when you win, lots of money comes out of a little chute on the side of your desk.
Sure.
You know, it's like printing money. It's like owning an ATM machine, right? And so, all right, so that was the magic carpet ride. And so, all right, so let's switch topics.
Hey, Perry, real fast, we just got to cut to a quick break. And this is, I think, a perfect time to wrap it up here for a minute. Awesome. I am Josh Felber, and you're watching Making Bank. We're here today with Perry Marshall, and we'll be right back.
Now you can get your healthy superfoods in one drink with no shopping, no blending, no juicing, and no cleanup.
I am Josh Felber. Welcome back. You're watching Making Bank, and we just finished an awesome piece with Perry Marshall on how he went from building speakers to creating and teaching people how to massively go out and crack the Google ad network. And Perry, welcome back to the show.
Hey, it's great to be here. I love the questions you're asking today. Weird stir fry of everything.
What's interesting too is I've met two other people, and they're specifically around the Google area. One guy used to work for Google for a long time, but he has an engineering background. And another guy, same exact thing. So it resonates with what you're saying about, you know, with your engineering background, and it makes sense to me, you know, how that kind of ties together from that perspective. And he was telling me exactly how he sees things all laid out, and, you know, how these all different pieces interconnect. So it's so cool listening to you. I'm like, man, that just sounds like a conversation I just had recently. So
yes. Oh, engineers love Google because it makes total sense. And so here's a funny story. My younger brother graduates from seminary with a master's degree in theology. He moves to China. He's teaching English part of the time, and he's a missionary part of the time. And he's there for 4 years, and at the end of the 4 years, he's almost an atheist.
Oh.
Okay? And we're having an argument, and I'm in a bus in southern China, and he and I are arguing, and I'm like, oh, come on, Brian. Like, you don't actually think, like, look at the hand at the end of your arm. Now, this is a nice piece of engineering. This is really right. Sweet. I go, you don't think this is like a result of accumulated random accidents, do you? And he's like, hold on, buddy. Yes, I do. And then he explains why. Okay. And he gives me the traditional, usual Darwinism explanation.
Right.
Now, I didn't really buy that. However, I knew that I didn't know, okay? And, you know, most people are just going to kind of make a gut-level judgment and move on.
Sure.
But I couldn't. I was like, well, I actually know that most biologists would probably agree with him more than they agree with me, and I don't really know. And it was one of those obsessive-compulsive things. I know that you probably don't have anybody in your audience with any of that affliction. and I'm like, I got to find out. I'm going to find out. And I went down the rabbit hole. So I'm spending $300 a month on Amazon, buying all these books, and I'm surfing the web. And I'm like, I'm seriously spending anywhere from 1 to 3 hours every day, like trying to get to the bottom of this. And I'm just going like crazy. And I'm like, okay, so like, all right, the falcons are flying around, and every now and then there's an accidental mutation, and there's a copying error in the DNA, and is it going to actually make it better? And I'm like, well, I don't know, but I know what it's like to get to the bottom of engineering stuff. I know the difference between what I knew about building a speaker before engineering school versus what I knew after engineering school. Like, I know completely how the thing works. I could dig the copper out of a copper mine and build the thing from scratch.
Right.
Literally. Okay. I understand it that well. And I said, okay, if I could understand like what's the evolutionary principle that well, then I could get to the bottom of this. Well, here's when it all clicked. All right. So here's another little chapter of my life is I wrote an Ethernet book. I spent 6 years. I said process control. I was in that industry, and I wrote this Ethernet book for process control engineers.
Okay.
And what I found out was the digital code in DNA is scary, scary similar to the digital code on your Ethernet cable.
Wow.
Okay. Like the parallels, like I could make a list of like 15 things that are really, really similar, okay? And like, well, there's a million codes, right? There's the Ethernet code, there's HTML, there's PHP, there's JavaScript, there's all this stuff, right? There's Excel spreadsheets. All the codes that we know where they come from are designed.
Right.
There's one code we don't know where it came from, and it's called DNA. And we don't know any codes that aren't designed. So it sure looks like there's a design here. Okay, sure. But what about evolution? Well, okay, so Josh, have you ever split test ads?
Yes.
Yes. Probably almost any marketer right by now has done this, right? Well, what do you do? You're like, well, do I say easy or do I say cheap? Do I say buy one, get one free, or do I say 50% off, right? And you try all these different things.
Sure.
Okay? And you don't know what's going to work, and your best guesses are sometimes nutty, right? And what actually works is very unpredictable. But here's one thing you don't do. You don't accidentally throw in like a bunch of gibberish on your keyboard.
Right.
You don't use a random letter generator.
Right.
It has to be in English. It has to make sense. Well, again, I'm giving you the super fast, super short version, but here's what I found out, and not many people know this. Cells edit their DNA. And when they do it, they edit it obeying linguistic rules. And they make rearrangements that are modular and Lego-like. They're not random. They're not accidental. They're not copying errors. In fact, cells have this huge machinery for eliminating and correcting copying errors. It's very similar to the machinery in your internet router that fixes broken packets and stuff, okay? And the reason you have to finish your antibiotics, like the doctor says, you finish this bottle, right? You don't take half of it because you got to kill those suckers dead. If you don't kill those suckers dead, what they will do, they will reach into their Swiss Army knife bag of tricks and they'll borrow code from each other and they'll do all this stuff and it's like jazz improvisation and they will substitute things that don't work for things that do. It's very similar to testing Google ads. Like, not sure what's going to work here,
right,
but something's going to work. And they will, the bugs will become super bugs, and then the antibiotic doesn't work anymore. And you only have to do like one or two Google searches to find out, like, the scientists are really concerned, like, what happens when this antibiotic stops working? What happens when that antibiotic stops working? And so what is going on is very, very, very smart.
Sure.
In fact, a cell can do more programming in 12 minutes than a team of software engineers can do in 12 weeks.
Wow.
Okay? And nobody was telling this story. Nobody. So if you went to the bookstore and you wanted to find out about evolution, here's what you found. You found either atheist zealots telling you that evolution is based on random copying errors, it's accidental, it's purposeless, there's no rhyme or reason, it's just billiard balls banging around the universe, and survival of the fittest solves it all at the end of the day. That's one story.
Right.
Or you go on the other side of the aisle, and God did it. Creation, intelligent design, evolution's a hoax. Here's all the reason why evolution's a hoax. And these two sides are just completely talking past each other. Okay?
Right.
Here's what I found out. They're both right and they're both wrong. Evolution is not a hoax, but it's not accidental either.
Sure.
It is not accidental. It's like Google Ads. Now, I know somebody's going to say, well, yeah, Perry, you do Google Ads. Like, this is how you think the world works. Well, I've seen a lot of things evolve. I've been doing engineering for 30 years, and everything evolves basically the same way. It's this chaotic process of trying stuff, and right, not just trying anything, right? You don't just stand on your head and try to speak Swahili, right? You, like, you know. You go to a mastermind group and you trade the best ideas that anybody can come up with to apply to your specific situation because you only got so many chances. And this is, in fact, what is going on in biology. And it all operates on the same set of principles. And so if the word evolution always sounded to you like this kind of distant, impersonal, kind of meaningless philosophy kind of thing, that is just so totally wrong. The world, Mother Nature is so purposeful. And here's what I really got convinced of, is that every problem we're trying to solve has already been solved in nature. We just have to go look and see what nature does. For example, my friend Richard Koch, he wrote the original 80-20 book. He's got this other book called The Natural Laws of Business. And in that book, he talks about all of these different things in science and how they apply to business. It's a brilliant book. And when I'm stuck on stuff, I don't even usually read business books. I go look for other stuff from other fields that I can steal.
Right. Okay.
And so, this is like in a nutshell. So I ended up writing this book, Evolution 2.0. And I'll tell you another little marketing tidbit, and then, you know, you can, I'll bounce it back to you.
Definitely.
This whole thing of, well, all the other codes are designed. We don't know where DNA came from. I actually spent several years trying to figure out, how do you present this people in a useful and compelling way? Well, I would find that if people were on a certain side of the aisle, they would go, oh, well, sure, it's designed. Like, I believe that. I believe in God. Sure, no problem. But then there would be this other group of people, and they wouldn't really accept the conclusion. And what I figured, I realized there was a big marketing insight. And this is kind of an advanced thing, but I think it's actually really basic. Is that, you know, they say you can lead a horse to water, but right. You can't make him drink. You know, you can't force people to a conclusion, but you can give them a question. And questions burn holes in people's brains. And so here's what I ended up doing, and it ended up being a really valuable and insightful thing. So what I did was I put together a technology prize. And I understand you've actually worked a little bit with Peter Diamandis.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
Okay. Now, what Peter did was really brilliant. He said, I'm going to put a $10 million challenge together to get somebody to solve the spaceflight problem.
Sure.
And 10 years later, Paul Allen spent $25 million to win a $10 million prize, which I think is fabulous, right?
Right.
And yeah. I said, I'm going to put a technology prize together for this. And instead of telling them that DNA is designed, I'm going to say, I'll pay you a whole bunch of money if you can show me any code that's not designed. Hmm. All you need is one.
Right.
And if you can do that, that would actually be one of the biggest scientific breakthroughs of the 21st century. So I organized a private equity investment group and raised some money, and I've got a $3 million prize now. My goal is 10. I'm still working my way up, but 3 million is a good start. And it's at naturalcode.org. And if somebody can generate a code without cheating or designing one, which would absolutely be necessary to have the first cell. You have to have some way of having code.
Right.
You have to have DNA. If they can do that, then just because they can do it, I'll write them a check for $100K. But if we can patent it, then we'll buy the patent from them for $3 million.
Nice.
And now what? So this is a much better way to approach the question marketing wise because it doesn't force people to agree with me. It just acknowledges an unanswered question. But what it also does is it honors science. You know, a scientist can't go, God did it, that settles it, let's go out for lunch. And this is actually, what I just said is actually a really important part of this whole clash between the two sides, because it's a philosophical difference. And science is actually where it meets in the middle. And what I find that the people on both sides are actually making up science that's not true.
Right, okay.
And like they're cutting a puzzle piece out with a piece of scissors and sticking it in instead of finding the real puzzle piece. And you can't do that. It's cheating. And this is why most people find this whole debate to be very disingenuous and like, there's something smarmy about this whole argument. Like, I don't know. But I don't know. I don't like that guy, and I don't like that guy either. You know,
right? Yeah.
This is how a lot of people feel about it, and so, I think for people that that like science and it can appreciate connecting the dots between business and science, or between your cell phone and the, you know, the antibiotics that you're taking, it all fits together. And I believe everything is connected. It's all operating on the same set of principles. So, right. So there's my story in, 20 minutes.
Awesome. No, I think it's definitely, I see how it makes sense. I mean, it's relevant, especially as entrepreneurs. I mean, knowing, knowing from, what you believe, and then also being self-aware, the more self-aware you are. And it's funny, I just had a good talk with Gary Vaynerchuk last week, and we were talking about self-awareness. And so it, I think this helps open up people's eyes and gives them a whole nother way to really connect those two sides of the spectrum, as you mentioned, for sure.
Here's a statement. You don't have to believe it, but go chew on this for a while. Evolution requires self-awareness.
Right.
Now, humanly speaking, I think probably we could all agree on that. I would like to suggest, I can't prove this, I don't know for sure, but I have a suspicion that all cells are on some level self-aware. If you watch a YouTube video of the white blood cells going and eating the germs,
right?
Watch them. Just watch that. Watch that and go, well, is that just like a chemical reaction, or is there like something very intentional going on there?
Sure.
I think there's something very intentional going on there. I think living things are much more sophisticated than most people have ever given them credit for. And in some ways, the lady that works in her garden, I think, may have more respect for nature than the scientist who's doing experiments in a lab.
That would be true. I mean, it makes sense because you're working with.
So I think we can learn a lot from nature. And as a kind of an unrelated note, I think most modern people don't spend enough time in nature. And I think, if I could give anybody a suggestion of one thing you ought to do this year is ditch your cell phone, ditch your laptop, go hiking, go to the mountains, go on a kayak or something, and spend some time with actual nature.
Yeah.
When I do that, it is so restorative. And you can learn about nature in a science book. You can also learn about nature by being there. That's a way.
Yeah.
I suggest.
No, I think you're right. As technology advances and owning your own business, a lot of times you become trapped in that cycle and you're not able to get out and experience the things that you created the business for in the first place. And that's one of the things I try to talk and work with entrepreneurs on is, putting that down. And I know for myself personally, just trying to take our kids and get out, and they love hiking and they love getting out in nature. And so it's cool because it helps force that, like, okay, I know I want to go do that. And we go take that time and spend, with them out in nature. It makes a huge difference. And from a personal standpoint on how you feel, and then being able to come back and reconnect and interact and do the things that you do best. So,
yeah. So that's really high on my list, and I make time to do that. I hope other people will. I think also, your creativity really starts to loosen up, and you're hiking up the mountain, and all of a sudden, you have a little insight, and hopefully you got some way to write it down or not lose it. We have a little waterproof paper pad in our shower, so. And I actually use it. It was a birthday gift. And this is a good idea. The best ideas usually come when you're not expecting them.
That's the truth, for sure. Well, awesome. I'm excited, to definitely dive into your book. For sure, picking up a copy of that after today's show. That stuff always interests me. And when I was a kid in high school, I started my first computer company. And so I was always kind of that techie kind of geeky kid. And figuring and learning things out, and for sure. So
anybody who gets the digital age that we live in will get this book. Most of it is about, okay, this is like this. This is, a gene is like an Ethernet packet. In fact, it's really scary how similar they are. There's stuff in cells that we thought we invented 60 years ago that had been there for 3 billion years, and they're absolutely ingenious. So,
wow, that's
cool.
That's
stuff,
amazing.
Man.
Yeah, it is for sure. Well, I really appreciate you coming on the show today. I hope, I think our audience of Making Bank entrepreneurs should really see some insight and make those connections. So I'm glad that you were able to really put those pieces together for us today.
Hey, thank you, Josh. And hey, best wishes to you, pounding some stupidity out of the world and trying to bring us to a higher level of self-awareness. So good on you.
Cool. Thanks again, Perry.
Thank you.
I am Josh Felber, and you're watching Making Bank. Thanks for being with us today, and get out and stay being extraordinary.
Making Bank is also available for download on iTunes and Stitcher.